Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 38th verse of the chapter.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
That Allah may reward them according to the best of what they did and increase them from His bounty. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without limit.
So the verse says, لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. That Allah may reward them with the best of what they have done. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And increase for them out of His grace. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And Allah gives sustenance to whom He pleases without stint. So, what we are seeing here in this verse is the fact that Almighty Allah says He compensates all shortages of lost men's deeds, and He gives them full reward, even if they have not done the best of what they could. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. They have done, they have brought some deeds, but the Almighty Allah, in reward for those actions, gives the best of the rewards, compensates all the shortages. This noble verse points to the great reward of these guardians of the light of guidance, who are the lovers of truth and reality, who are the men of the Almighty Allah, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. So, the verse says, لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. That Allah may reward them with the best of what they have done. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And increase for them out of His grace. There is nothing to get surprised at, because Allah's grace is not limited for those who deserve His grace. So if you are from among those people who truly deserve His grace, the Almighty Allah, يَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا, will compensate all the shortages, all the shortcomings. And Allah gives sustenance to whom He pleases without stint. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Dear listeners, upon the purpose of the Quranic phrase, لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا, the best of what they did, mentioned in the verse, some say that it refers to all good deeds, including recommended duties and compulsory ones, great or small. But there are some others who say that it refers to the fact that Allah rewards a person who does actually a good deed tenfold, or sometimes 700 times or even more, as we read in some of the other chapters of the Holy Quran. For example, in chapter An'am we read, whosoever brings a good, we shall have 10 times its like. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, we read, the likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Almighty Allah is as the likeness of a grain, that grows 7 ears with 100 grains in each ear, and Allah multiplies in advance for whom He wills.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, we mentioned the different probabilities of this Wallahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab, that Almighty Allah gives sustenance to whom He pleases without stint. There is one point, however. Upon the commentary of this phrase, there is also this probability that the purpose of it is that Allah will reward them all of their deeds according to the measure of their best deeds. Even their insignificant and mill deeds will be rewarded in the row of their best deeds. This is another probability, another possibility in the commentary of this verse. And this manner is not something which is beyond the grace of Allah, because we have seen that what Almighty Allah is capable of and what He has vouched for. Because when justice and punishment are in contemplation, equality is necessary. But when grace and generosity come into being, bounties are without stint. His pure essence is infinite. His bless is unlimited. So His generosity will be endless as well. And the last point regarding the verse is that the verse says, وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. In the rules of syntax of Arabic, this مَنْ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah gives sustenance to whom He pleases. This He can refer to Almighty Allah, which we translated. And it is also possible that this man is referring to any kind of creation, any kind of man or woman that brings good deeds. So if you are from among those people who you want to be given the sustenance, you have to bring the deed necessary for it. This is yet another possible commentary regarding the verse. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, and that's when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
In this khutbah, I want to take some time to discuss some of the lessons and a little bit of inspiration from what you are seeing from the Palestinian people, the civilians, and individuals who really have nowhere to go. And some of the other lessons that we can learn as well. So I'll start with a couple lessons. So first of those lessons is this. And I think this is something that I think this issue has made it even more clear to us. And that is the fact that you can have politicians who look very presentable, who have very firm handshakes, who have the most well-looking suits, who speak of the highest values and morals. But in reality, they don't live up to those morals, to those values. And this is something that you and I have to teach our children, because this is the world that our children are growing up in. You know, one of the things that convenience, ease, one of the things that privilege does to the human being is that it makes the human being indifferent and a little bit naive. This is what happens when you're growing up in a part of the world where life is very convenient, and we are blessed through that convenience. There's no doubt about that. Yes? If you live in this part of the world, or in many other parts of the world as well at this point, there's convenience that comes with life. That convenience that comes with life many times gives you the feeling, and by extension our children, the feeling that this is how life is. This is what life is supposed to be like. And in reality, life is not like that for many people out there. And we don't want our children to grow up naive and not understanding how politicians will change their words, how politicians will play nations many times, how politicians will do whatever they like, as long as they have a smile on their face, and as long as they show up on shows on TV, that then they assume that the public and you and I are unaware of what they're doing in reality. This is one of the biggest lessons of what we are witnessing during these days. Lesson number two, the power of media, the labeling, the gaslighting that's happening. Yes? That a politician will look you straight in the eye and you tell him there's civilians dying. And he says, what civilians? Which civilians are you talking about? What international law are you talking about? When did we ever go against international law? But no, I saw the evidence myself. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, this is what they call gaslighting. This is what they call denying clear facts to such an extent where sometimes you sit back and say, well, maybe I'm the one who's not thinking properly. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand what's happening. Yes? Maybe I'm the one who's got everything wrong because it doesn't add up. Yes, that's the power of media, brothers and sisters. Power of media. Inshallah, in the future, we're going to talk about media a lot more for certain reasons. I don't want to touch on it right now. These are some of the lessons. There's more lessons. I'll get to those lessons later on. I don't want to get into it right now. Inspiration. Some of those moments of inspiration. Yes? This, the patience of a people. This is unbelievable. This is something we've never seen. And there are major lessons in it for you and I. I mean, how can a father or a mother hold their own child in their arms, yes? And at the same time, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise God. And be patient with what's happening with them. And understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these are things that we read of in books. These are things we read of in hadith. This is things we read of in theory. And you see it playing out with civilians in practice. This is unbelievable. And it puts into perspective, by extension, the difficulties that you and I go through. We have difficulties, there's no doubt about that. Yes, life comes with many difficulties, yes? But then you put your difficulty alongside the difficulty of this person. And you see that your difficulty really is nothing even to be, you know, compared to this difficulty. It's not to dismiss your difficulty. Your difficulty is there too. My difficulty is there too. Yes? But it helps the human being to be so much more patient. Because now I understand what a problem really is. Now I understand what a headache really is. Yes? These are the lessons that can be learned. You see this with the civilians. Of the inspirational things that you see, of course, it's, you know, covered in genocide. It's covered in crimes that are happening. Yes, but if you look deeper, you see this inspiration. You see these paramedics, the rescuers. Imagine if you're put into this area and they tell you, listen, we're just going to bomb and you just have to go and pull out bodies. Pull out this body and pull out that body and pull out this body. And after the fifth time, after the sixth time, after the tenth time, you're going to give up. After the 15th time, you're going to be saying, enough is enough. What's the point? What am I even doing anymore? And you know, many of these paramedics and rescuers at this point, they know they're doing this, a lot of it for history. They're doing a lot of it because they know that these moments are critical moments. Like, the world's not going to forget the massacre of a whole people. I mean, we can talk about politics and so on and so forth, but this is beyond politics. This is a whole people who are being held accountable. Who are being, you know, punished for something that they had nothing to do with. Yes, this is the inspiration that you see these paramedics. I was on social media, I saw this clip where many of these paramedics, when they visited homes that have been bombed, you see that they have brought with them money. Their pockets are full of money, but this is not their own money. So when they visit the homes to pull out the bodies, if there is money, because there's an explosion, everything in the house is all over the place, yes? They take the money and they give it to the family that was rescued, or whoever has been rescued from the, you know, the from that building. They don't even take walk away with that money. Now many of them are hungry and thirsty themselves. Yes, this is inspiration. This is you and I. And you and I assume we sacrifice for God. Right? We do. I speak for you guys. You guys do, of course. But when you compare it to what they go through, what sacrifice are we doing? How are we, you know, the sacrifices we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we give from our wealth, we give from our time, we give from our energy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, inshallah. This is sacrifice. This is on a different level. The hard work of journalists, yes? Many of them are not even affiliated with any, you know, agency. But you see, they document what's happening because they know that this is a critical moment. They know this is a turning moment. They know that things are going to shift moving forward. And they know the narrative is also changing. I mentioned this 3 weeks in a row. It's changing. It's changing slow. Very slow. A lot slower than it should. But it's changing. So you see this person still documenting. Still when his own house is bombed and his own family he loses. Still continuing to do what he feels like is the only way he can protect the civilians that are around him. Protect them now, protect their future generations and their history as well. These are inspirational, you know. Yesterday there was another journalist. His family, the house of his family was bombed. He returned back to continue with his journalism 24 hours later. Why? He himself did Salatul Janazah on his wife, his son, and his daughter. And he came back to do the journalism. Why? Because he said, these are moments, I have to document these moments. These are moments, I can't be the one sitting, you know, on the sidelines and saying, well, I have to take my loss. These are inspirational. The work of, and this is the last one that I want to point out, the work of these surgeons and the medical staff. Yes, when you are told to evacuate the hospital multiple times, and the surgeon who, some of them, otherwise can be living wonderful lives, but this person decides to stay in the hospital and continue to help civilians who are wounded. What's more inspirational than that? You know, it's one thing in Islam, and in any faith for that matter, even in the Jewish faith, even in the Christian faith, it's one thing to help people. It's another thing to help people who have nowhere else to go. It's another thing to help people who are hopeless, who have no other option, who are muhtarra. Yes? One of those surgeons you saw, it was on CNN yesterday or the day before. His name is Ghassan Abu Sita. Yes, you should look him up. This is a multiple award-winning plastic surgeon. Yes? Who is in one of the hospitals. I believe it's Ashifa Hospital, but I could be wrong. They have him on different news channels and so on and so forth. This is a person who lives in Britain. And if he wanted to, he could just live there and not care at all. Yes, but his humanitarian aid and his humanitarian work is something that is extremely, you know, inspirational when his life is in danger. So this is all lessons that, of course, doesn't take away from the bitterness of the massacres that we are seeing. No doubt about it. But I wanted to address this issue from that angle as well, because in the midst of all of this ugliness and this massacre that we are witnessing, there are these moments of sacrifice that will remain in history and that you and I have to learn from when it comes to aiding civilians who are completely caught up in this massacre that is taking place.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به حق تعالی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, in a couple of episodes, we made you familiar with the views of John Foran, American professor of sociology from California University, on the character of the greatest leader of the past centuries, Imam Khomeini. Today, we are going to make you familiar with the views of Fred Holliday, who has made researches on international relations and West Asian issues. Stay tuned, please.
Thank you.
Halliday was born in Ireland in 1946 and he died in 2010. He had graduated from Oxford University in 1967 and taught in the years 1985 to 2008 in the College of Economy of London. He was familiar with some languages such as Farsi, Arabic, Greek, Russian, French, and so on. Halliday had traveled several times to the West Asian region for his studies. He was a supporter of Soviet attack on Afghanistan, NATO intervention in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the occupation and devastation of Afghanistan by the US. Fred Halliday's first book on Iran, titled Iran, Dictatorship and Development, was written in 1978, nearly 1 year before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. His next book, An Introduction to Iran's Revolution, was published for the third time. In the advent of the Islamic Revolution, he traveled several times to Iran. 30 years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 2009, he pointed to the results of his unpublished studies in a conference in London, saying that the Islamic Revolution resembled 4 great revolutions in the world, namely the French, the Russian, the Chinese, and the Cuban revolutions. He tried to justify his claim with the convergence of all groups, Marxist, liberalist, and religionist, under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. The Irish researcher concluded that the revolution in Iran was the most modern revolution in the human history. Halliday also emphasized that the Islamic Revolution was a non-violent revolution. As an example, he mentioned the welcome accorded by the Iranian nation for Imam Khomeini as one of the greatest gatherings of human history, while it was devoid of any kind of violence whatsoever. Irish University lecturer Fred Halliday maintained that, unlike other revolutions, there has prevailed a high level of freedom of expression in the society after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. He admits that this magnitude of freedom of expression has been unprecedented in the world. Halliday opined that the world is yet to hear the word of the Islamic Revolution and this great nation. Fred Halliday considers the role of ulema, particularly Imam Khomeini, very effective in the triumph of the Islamic Revolution and writes, Iran's revolution was a public revolution from below against a tyrannical regime. The success of this revolution was owed to leadership of Imam Khomeini and the clergymen who cooperated with him. They not only formed the revolution's structure, but also promoted the ideology whereby the mobilization of forces was feasible. This researcher maintained that the ideology of the Islamic Revolution has 3 principles. The first principle was the belief which contained a novel understanding of Islam and made it possible to found an Islamic government in the modern world, with the leadership of Wali Faqih as the pivot of the ruling system. The second principle was the division of the world to 2 poles of the oppressed or the downtrodden and the oppressors or the arrogant. These were indeed based on the Quran. The third principle was to bring all people from every class and stratum under the banner of Islam. In fact, Imam Khomeini's great work was to unite the whole nation around a single cause. Fred Holiday believed that many of the features of the Islamic Revolution specifically belonged to this revolution and could not be traced in other revolutions or movements. Imam Khomeini's emphasis on the role of religion and ulema in administration of society and various affairs was among his great achievements. The Irish university teacher then says that Imam Khomeini's charisma was so strong and deep among the people, and people loved him to the extent that he led the Islamic Revolution ably in the first turbulent decade of the Islamic Republic, and the nation's unprecedented participation in his funeral approved the scale of their love to their leader. He writes, "Another point that was evident in people's reaction to Imam Khomeini's passing away is the great might which the revolution had gained among people despite all problems during the post-revolution era. The revolution and the eight-year war with Iraq were accompanied with a lot of disasters and hardships, but no doubt the Islamic Republic of Iran enjoyed extraordinary legitimacy."
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Attar, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Shaykh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, regarding the speeches and the addresses of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Imam Khamenei, regarding human being, we get into the concept of adala. You know, justice or adala is a concept that the religion of Islam in general and the Muslim rulers in specific are mainly concerned with. So, Sheikh Sadr, let's get to you. What are the grounds how this type of justice, I mean divine justice, that we are looking for can be achieved? I mean, what grounds should be established in order to achieve this adala? For example, we're going to prepare a ground for ourselves, or from the type of, from the side of the rulers of a society of the Muslim lands. What should they do?
As I said, you know, there's no way except the hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because adala is only achieved through a balance of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And the only manifestation, the complete manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His hujjah. So right now we can just refer to their ahadith, we can refer to Quran, but it's again through our limited lenses. All of our limitations, all of our experiences, where we're born, our culture, all of this colors what we read in the Quran and in the Hadith and everything else. Our place in history, all of this affects that. So we can refer to Hadith that's better than just, you know, thinking without any prerequisite.
Okay.
But it's not going to happen without our Imam. And when we understand this, that's when we pray for Zuhur of Imam Zaman. Like, really seriously.
So the outmost example of adala, yes, is, you know, will be fulfilled with the, you know, the manifestation of the, you know,
reappearance of Imam Az-Zaman.
Yeah,
Imam
the, okay, the manifestation of the Allah's attributes, which is the hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
But until then, what is, you know...
Yes, yes, this now, is the question.
Yeah, so
until then, what should we do? Of course, we know that, since the reappearance, inshallah, the Imam is hay, the Imam is alive, okay? He's present among us. He's, as they symbolize it, you know, it's the sun behind the cloud, okay? Mm-hmm. His lights and his shining and his rahmah is overshadowing over us, you know? These are like an umbrella covering all the worlds. But the case is that till that time, if you want to have a kind of justice system like that one, or at least something, how can I say it? I can call it
just
maybe.
Just get closer.
Yeah, keep closer, or a picture like
the
that.
Best we can,
do? Yes.
Right? The best we can is referring to hadith. Like Imam Zaman said at the beginning of Ghibat Kubra, he said, فَرْجَعُوا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتَ أَحَادِيثَنَا. So we refer to hadith, we refer to fuqaha, we refer to mujtahideen, we refer to waliyya faqih, whoever is in charge of the community of mu'mineen at the time.
Okay.
But that's the best we can do. But we have to keep in mind that this is the limited version.
Mm-hmm.
This is not
the original
complete
version.
Substitute.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that answer is a good one. When we think about, you know, some question or some challenges, some objections that we may have about the, you know, the way that the Islamic Republic of Iran is now carrying out the justice, because we normally get this a lot that,
yes,
you know, if that is the plan, then what is this? You know,
yes.
So how can we sort of reconcile between that example,
yes,
of, for example, Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the system, the justice system that we've been brought about by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam in their ahadith, and the application that we have been experiencing in the Islamic Republic of Iran? And I think that would be a good
which
answer.
Which is not ideal yet.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so, yeah, so
fully achieved, which is not fully achieved.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are trying our best, you know, to get there. But of course, there are many things, you know, many hindrances, let
yes.
alone, you know, the... You know, the
what are those? What are those obstacles, brother, on the way?
Yeah. I believe the most important ones, and as Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizullah, he himself describes and actually explains. He says that, you know, we have always in front of the justice seekers, we have always the mustakbirin.
Okay.
So there are some people who are trying their best not to allow people and, you know, sort of expand their own reign of, you know, access.
That's right.
Which consequently leads to what? To the, you know, to the narrowness of the scope of other people's freedom. So you know, they are always active, the mustakbirin, the ones that try to get
that's
as
right.
more as possible.
Okay.
So this is one of them. So now in the world, you know, there is no need to say that who, you know, what ideology. I want to really like
yes.
to call it an ideology. It's
okay.
not just a political
no ideology
movement.
In terms
this
of
this is an
yes,
ideology
okay.
that ideology encompasses the Zionism, the way that
okay.
the United States of America is
yes.
lead and is governed, and all other, you know, people who have this in common with these sorts of ideologies by you know, by making others withdraw from their
that's
scopes
right.
of freedom
that's
and
right.
then, you know, going on and on and taking their place.
Sorry, and the sad news is that the Muslim lands are day by day very much becoming similar to the liberal capital system. And this is really the sad news. I mean, if you look at the picture just superficially, it is very beautiful, okay? Beautiful buildings, beautiful houses, luxurious lifestyle. But behind the scene, the rich is becoming richer, the poor is becoming poorer, okay? And this is not the justice or adala that Islam has been looking for, at least what we know from the side of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the other infallible imams. This is very much like the aristocrat system of justice whose Baitul Mal has been changed into a kind of khazana, a treasury fund, and then distributed by the ruler of the king among the people according to their own understanding and their own wishes, and which culminated into many tragedies during the history. But the case is that, reaching this type of adala from one side is very much easy because we have it inside our fitra, Sheikh Sadiq. From the other side, we have these obstacles on our way. How to manage? Beside referring to ahadith and the verses of the Holy Quran.
That's basically why religion is there.
Okay.
Because the source of all problems is حب الدنيا.
Okay.
Different levels of حب الدنيا. حب الدنيا رأس كل خطية. Right? So, in one lecture I had in this Muharram, I said we have three types of religious people. The first type, the lowest type, are not really religious. They're munafiqeen, basically. They just use the name of the religion to get to the dunya that they want.
Their own goals.
They're using the clothing of religion. They're using the appearance of a Muslim or of a mu'min to get to religion. And we have these throughout the history. They're just using religion to get to money, power, wealth, everything else.
Okay.
And then the second type are the common people, the normal mu'mineen. They are Muslim, but they're not super deep into the root of religion. So they don't understand what they're doing.
Okay.
And so the first type, we can see that they are deep into حب الدنيا.
Yes.
The second type, they just want a peaceful life.
Okay.
They love dunya, but not at the expense of akhirah.
Okay.
But because of their ignorance, because they don't have a correct understanding of religion, they always help the munafiqin.
Okay.
Like never once in history have they helped the third type, the true mu'mineen, yes. Amirul mu'mineen.
Okay.
We can see the munafiqin of the time of the Prophet, how they manipulate the common people,
yes.
The majority of people,
yes.
And take them away from Amirul mu'mineen. And Sayyidah Zahra, salamullahi alayhi, in the khutbah yes. Fadakiyah, she says, if you had followed Ali alayhi salam, he would just guide you to the true path, to the truth, slowly, slowly, without any pain, without any problems.
That's right.
But the first type, the munafiqeen, scare people away mm-hmm. from true mu'mineen and say, no, they are too serious. Okay. They're going to take away your dunya. And basically manipulate them because of their ignorance. So
I'm making you play in the same ground. I mean, when I was looking at this Black Lives Matter, you know, after George Floyd was killed by that police officer in the U.S., most of the models and the slogans that you say in the type of adala they are looking for is playing in the same field of liberal capitalism. Again, they are looking for a type of justice that is done in the social boundaries they are living in, very much leading into a kind of bodily, physical joys. Not more than that, okay? But this type of spiritual look at the top of divinity. But, you know, the third group that you talked about, true faithful Muslims, are not many, brother.
Yeah.
The true helpers of Imam Asr, okay?
You have to know their forces and their vision. Their
okay.
vision is educating people, bringing uh-huh. people up.
Okay.
The sole thing they think about...
Even justice or adala can be taught, you mean?
Yeah, of course. Like,
okay.
because we're ignorant of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're ignorant of the place of everything,
mm-hmm.
the appropriate place for everything.
Yes.
You said that if everything is in its place...
In its place, that's right.
That's justice, right?
Okay.
We don't know the place.
Yeah.
We think this is the place,
okay.
right? So our efforts go the wrong way. And if someone comes and educates us about the right way, about the balance of
okay.
the world, then we can... find it in our heart,
yes.
because that's fitrah, right?
Yeah, how much do we know the places? How much do we know the places, brother?
Unfortunately, you know, the
I mean, knowing
age,
the place is important,
yeah.
okay?
The
we do not know that. We know how to fill our fridge, okay? With different types of fruits, flesh,
yeah.
chicken, flesh, or something like that. But what about the places of different
yeah.
things in our life, okay?
First of all, we have to know, we have to come to this awareness that many of the places that we are recognizing that the places of those things are not right.
Oh.
This is very important. And the reason is that unfortunately this era that we're living in is the era of media. So whatever they want to feed you
yes.
with the, you know, the misinformation about the places of things, and this is exactly what you mentioned, that, you know, based on liberalism, you have, you know, some special and some very narrow-minded, you know, places being designated to things.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the justice of, I don't know, human beings, they you know, right away their mind goes to, you know, the equality of women and men.
Yes.
Or, I don't know.
Or
the
payments.
Equality of, yeah.
The payments or wages.
Yeah. So,
okay.
But this is not the way that, if you go beyond what
yes.
we've been taught by the media, by the, you know, by the dominant media that, unfortunately, the ones that are governing the media,
yes.
they own the media, are exactly the ones that are trying to strip the you know, the justice from its reality and
that's
from
right.
you know, the essence, the real true essence of it. So the first thing is that we have to become so suspicious about the media. And, you know, as my brother said, one of the ways of education is not just by words. So those, you know, people of God, those elect people, we can, you know, they are the examples, the life models of human beings. So by following them, even though that we may not in all details know what, you know, what they do or what is the reason that they're doing that action, but by following their model and their footsteps, I think that would be a very good step for knowing the places of things.
Some people might doubt this, that the media is a new phenomena, you know, in the last century, but the satanic temptations have always existed during the history. I mean, the type of medium was working out at the time of and its proper place. But the case is that, as you said, we have to refer to our very fitra. But I think the people in the world and all this justice judicial system are very much concerned with the nature rather than the fitra. And this is the make differentiation. I mean by nature is the physical boundaries and the physical capacities that exist all around us. But if you kind of refer to our very soul and the fitra, then we can find, I think, the true meaning of justice. And then our look at the world will be very much different.
Yeah.
Maybe the places that we consider for the things around might be changed a lot. Thank you very much, Sheikh Qasem and Sheikh Sadeq. For your presence in the program Viewpoints, it was very kind of you. We tried to discuss justice, adala, and seeking justice based on the viewpoints of the supreme leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Qasem.
Pleasure.
And Sheikh Sadeq. Thank you very much. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. For more information, visit our website, apostolate.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanallah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone or anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام إن لم تكن حليما فتحلم فإنه قل من تشبه بقوم إلا أوشك أن يكون منهم.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said, "If you cannot forbear, feign to do so, because it is seldom that a man likens himself to a group and does not become as one of them."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, when we are talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that his eminence was a source of emulation. Of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he represented the values, the divine teachings, and all of the lessons of Islam. He was truly the embodiment of the seerah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, why would this be any different, since we know that the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, he raised Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he grew up in the arms of the Holy Prophet. And so this is why we emulate and we follow and we try to replicate Imam Ali alayhi salam in our lives. And it is His Eminence's universal persona which we try to follow and we try to imitate. We find that the best and closest companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they tried to follow the ways and the manners. They tried to emulate Imam Ali alayhi salam. They tried to be like Imam Ali alayhi salam, to the point where one of these people was trying to live a very meager lifestyle in order to be like Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him. And the first divinely appointed imam told him that you cannot be like me. And so this is just to point out that there were people who wanted to be just like His Eminence. Now, in the present day, we too need to take this into consideration. Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, was the duplicate or the replication of the Messenger of Allah. The rest of the divinely appointed imams, again, in the same manner, are the replications of the Messenger of Allah. We too, in our present day and age, if we want to be able to live a pure life, if we want the world to become a better place, if we want to be happy in our own individual lives, in the lives of our families, then we are going to have to replicate the lifestyle of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We're going to have to replicate the different manners and the different behaviors. And of course, this is done via the recitation and understanding and comprehending the Holy Quran, as well as the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. It is these traditions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it is this universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam that helps us and guides us in our lives. Another thing though, because some of the things we can understand, but very quickly there are some things which are quite complicated because we do live in a very complicated day and age. Well, in this kind of a situation where we cannot clearly understand or we cannot clearly find the way and the solution, the infallibles have taught us and have shown us who can be a guide in this age of occultation. They say that whoever is from among the jurists who safeguards their nafs, they are protective of their deen and religion, they oppose their carnal self and their temptations, they are obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the common people must emulate them. And this is only applicable to those of the Shia jurists who have these credentials and these characteristics, and not all of them. A beautiful and very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أشهد أنك جاهدت في الله حق جهاده وعملت بكتابه واتبعت سنن نبيه.
I testify that you made utmost efforts, as it should be, in the cause of Allah, acted upon His book, followed the way of life of His Prophet, blessings of Allah be on him and his children, to the last moment of your life, until Allah invited you to come unto Him and used His discretion to take you away and sealed your enemy's doom with the blame that the arguments had been made known to one and all through you. O Allah,